Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and our Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Witness. The word witness conjures up many images in people's minds. Many times the word is associated with legal situations where people are called upon to sit on the witness stand in a courtroom. There they are asked by lawyers to explain to a judge, jury, and others in attendance what they saw, heard, and experienced in a given situation. These are often tense situations, especially if they involve the loss of life or a scandal that affects the well-being of a nation. We also use the word witness for many other situations outside of a courtroom. Parents witness the birth of their children. I will never forget the events surrounding Sophia's and Timothy's birth. They are etched into my heart, and I thank God that I was able to be present to witness such a powerful event at the birth of my children. Births, no matter whose baby it is, are wonderful, powerful, and transformative events. Men and women go from being Chris and Heather to dad and mom. Grandmas, grandpas, aunts and uncles, cousins and friends, neighbors. Folks love to be involved in welcoming a child into this world. Yet not many of them are able to actually witness the birth itself. Those nurses and doctors and lucky few who are allowed into the operating room to witness a baby's birth are blessed to do so. Witness. We witness many things in our life. Many events that we witness are outside of our homes and families. We witness companies being created and going out of business across this nation. We witness homes and farmsteads being sold and changes made to what has been very familiar to us for many years. Driving in the country around Wanamingo, I witnessed the behavior and activities of animals. Deer crossing the road or munching on food. Hawks and eagles soaring above. Flock of turkeys making their way from one destination to another. We could say that through the news media, we witness events secondhand happening around the globe. Things like wars, natural disasters, health epidemics, the Arab Spring, so on. Still, most of what really impacts our lives are the things we witness happening in our own families, schools, businesses, church, and communities. We witness our children being born and baptized into God's family here at church. We witness our children going off to school and learning the skills necessary to become successful citizens in this modern world. We witness those being nourished here at the Lord's table during Holy Communion. And today we witness Glenn Elizabeth being nourished at the Lord's table for the very first time. We witness young Christians affirming their baptismal faith at confirmation. We witness the joining of two hearts and lives in marriage. We witness as people we know graduate from school, go off to start their careers, and venture forth to begin their life's journey. We witness people struggle with health concerns as we walk with them through the dark valleys in this life. We witness birthday and anniversary parties, family reunions and vacations, holiday celebrations, and ordinary day-to-day living. We also witness when those we love take their last breath and are welcomed into heaven by Jesus at the moment of their death. These are just a few of the ways that we witness in this life. Some of these events happen to us, while others happen around us or without us being present. The disciples in today's gospel were witness to a powerful event. The resurrected Lord came among them and brought them two huge gifts. The first gift was the gift of peace. After all the traumatic events that the disciples had witnessed over the course of the previous week, God's peace is what they needed most in their lives. For the disciples had been witnesses when Jesus had ridden into Jerusalem, where he was welcomed by cheering crowds waving palms like he was a king or a conquering hero. The disciples were witnesses when Jesus shared a Last Supper with them where he had stooped down to wash his disciples' dirty feet. The disciples had witnessed as armed guards came in the dark of night to take Jesus away, led as they were by one of their own, Judas Iscariot, to betray Jesus. The disciples had witnessed Jesus' arrest and his being carried away to face the high priest and Pontius Pilate. Yet it was the women and the beloved Apostle John who witnessed Jesus' crucifixion and death on the cross, because the disciples were off and hiding for fear of their lives. And I'm witnessing some of you get really kind of hot and stuffy in here, so if somebody would please turn on the air conditioning in the back, just on the control panel, switch it to cool, because otherwise you're going to witness Pastor Chris sweating to death up here. And so that's where we find the disciples today. They're cowering behind locked doors because they were afraid. Even though Peter and John had seen Jesus' empty tomb, they were still afraid. Even though Mary Magdalene had spoken with the risen Lord and told the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," they were still afraid. Now, after all they had witnessed, into their fearful, isolated existence, Jesus came and stood among them. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then to assure the disciples it was him and not some ghost or apparition they thought they were seeing, Jesus showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples witnessed Jesus doing this, they were overjoyed. Once again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." How those grace-filled words must have soothed those trembling, grief-stricken, exhausted disciples. What words of comfort, love, and forgiveness came from Jesus when he could have said, "You know, you guys really let me down. Judas betrayed me for 30 pieces of silver. Peter denied he even knew me 3 times. And all of you, well, except for John, ran away when I was suffering on the cross." Jesus could have said all of that and it would have been true. But he didn't do that. Instead, Jesus walked through their locked doors and right into the midst of a scared group of grieving disciples, and he brought them his gift of peace. This is the peace that the world cannot give us. It is the peace that passes all human understanding, and is the peace that Jesus gives as his gift to us. So the first gift Jesus gave to his disciples was the gift of peace. The second gift that Jesus gave his disciples was the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed upon the disciples and empowered them to forgive the sins of those people who are sorry for what they've done wrong in this life. For those who confess their sins and repent and change their behavior, Jesus gave authority to the church to pronounce forgiveness of sins in his name, and to announce to those who are not sorry for what they did wrong, "You're still stuck in your sins." Still, there was one apostle who was not a witness to these amazing things that Jesus said and did. And who was that apostle? Thomas. Thomas was not there to witness Jesus' appearance. This is the Thomas which tradition has labeled as Doubting Thomas. Thomas wasn't there that first day of the week when Jesus stood among the other disciples and brought the peace their hearts ached for and that their spirits needed so badly. I think Thomas was just as hurting as the other disciples were. And now, since he missed Jesus' first visit, perhaps he thinks he won't get another chance to see Jesus. We do this too, don't we? Someone we know has a wonderful thing happen to them, or they turn their lives around from a destructive pattern of living, and we say what? "I don't believe it happened to so-and-so. Can you believe it? He beat stage 4 cancer. Or she stopped drinking after 20 years. Or he finally stopped smoking." And the insinuation we leave people with sometimes sounds like, "Because it didn't happen to us, and we weren't there to see it, it can't be true." Thomas seems to be in that camp. He's hurting. He's grieving the loss of his Lord. He's grieving, he's hurting, and now he's disappointed and perhaps even mad because he wasn't there when Jesus came among his friends. Thomas maybe even thought he had blown his very last chance to see Jesus. But a week later, Thomas was with the disciples. Again, Jesus came and stood among them and for a third time said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas was finally a witness to the risen Lord. At last he knew what the other disciples had seen and heard and felt. And all his emotions just came pouring out of him as he answers Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Thomas and the other disciples would take their witness of the risen Lord out into the world. The Acts of the Apostles tells us about how they bore witness to Jesus in Jerusalem, in defiance of the council's attempt to silence them in their preaching and teaching about Jesus. Peter answered the council that they had to obey God rather than any human authority. And so they did. The apostles scattered throughout the Middle East, the Mediterranean, and even, tradition tells us, to India. Thomas, yes, doubting Thomas himself, went all the way to India witnessing to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And to this day, there is a small but still vibrant Christian church in India that traces its origin back to Thomas's witnessing to Christ. Now, what does all this talk about witnessing have to do with us here this morning? Well, we are the ones Jesus says are blessed because we have not seen him, and yet we have come to believe that Jesus is our Lord and God. And just like the disciples were, we are called to witness to other people. No, not necessarily in Turkey or Greece or Rome or India or Africa, but here in Wanamingo, in Zumbrota, in Kenyon, in Cannon Falls, in Rochester, in Faribault, the Twin Cities, and wherever we go. These are the areas in which we are to share the witness of our faith in the risen Lord to those we meet. How do we do this? How can we give witness in our lives? Well, first begin simply by telling others what you have seen and heard and felt here at church. Here at worship, we have heard Jesus' voice speaking to us through God's Word. We have become a part of God's family and had our sins washed away in the sacrament of holy baptism. Here we have received Jesus' true body and true blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins as we partake in the Lord's Supper. Here we have had Jesus stand among us and offer us his peace. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus promised, there am I in your midst. Gathered here together as the worshiping body of Christ, we have received Jesus' gift of peace. And we have offered Jesus' peace to one another at the sign of peace. That's what we're doing at the sign of peace. We're not just exchanging the score of the Twins baseball game or who's wearing what in church. When we stand and say, "Peace be with you," is the very peace of our Lord we're offering to one another. We have received all these gifts through faith, which itself is a gift from the Holy Spirit. There's an awful lot, then, that we can share with others. Jesus is present and active among us in many ways, and so God has given us plenty to witness to others about. And now that same Holy Spirit which gives us faith compels us to go out and be witnesses to the Lord Jesus in our kind words of respect toward one another, in our caring deeds done to a person in need, in our unassuming way of sharing our faith stories clearly, briefly, and humbly. We witness to the risen Lord. We witness to others about what Jesus has done in our lives so that, like Thomas, they won't be left out. We share our faith with others so that other people may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through believing they may have life in His name. And isn't that the most important thing that we can witness to in our lives? It is. Amen.